Last time we were together on the pastor study, I asked a question to those of you listening, are you a comfort zone Christian? And I began as a way of introduction how as Christians we like to focus in on words such as grace and peace and joy and love and faith and mercy and forgiveness, amen? Because these words are non-offensive and non-confrontational to non-believers. Plus, these words have a tendency to keep the Christian in his or her comfort zone, amen? But we also saw, as a part of Christianity, these words are not only part of it, but also such words as division and suffer and persecution and the word go and witness. And the reason most Christians have a tendency to avoid these words is because they're often confrontational or offensive to the non-believer and have a tendency to move the individual Christian out of his or her comfort zone. We looked at one word, division, at great length, and we started to talk about persecution. And we looked at that great verse of Scripture where Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's no doubt about it. If you live for Christ, amen, you live godly in Christ Jesus, persecution's not too far behind, amen. But along with persecution also is suffering. Suffering. And Peter's epistle has a lot to say about suffering. So I would like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 with me and take a look at what Peter said here. And verses 12 through 16. I'll read the verses down from 12 to 16 here in 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy, and if be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, verse 12 that I just read. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. This verse tells us that suffering to the Christian is not to take him by surprise, or to be something strange or foreign to him or her. See, suffering is something to be expected in a Christian's life. It's supposed to be a common occurrence. Amen. But you know, you get a lot of these preachers out there, you know, you come to Christ and all your problems and trials are going to go away, and there'll be a nice big Cadillac on the driveway and so forth and so on, and you're going to have all this money, you know. And then when the first bump in the road of Christianity comes up, they're thrown for loop. That's why it's so important to disciple young Christians. Amen, and discuss the passage here in Peter about they need to expect suffering down the road at some point. Amen. That's right. But some of you may not even know what I'm talking about because you've never left your comfort zone of your individual non-sacrifice brand of Christianity. Amen. That's right. But Peter says in this passage that I just read that you should rejoice if you experience suffering for Christ. Because he says in verse 13, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When he shows up, amen, he calls you up at the rapture, you're going to be glad that you suffered. Amen. You're going to be joyful that you did. That's what he's saying here. I know it doesn't make sense, amen, to man's mind. But remember, God doesn't think like you and I, and thank God for that. Thank God his ways are not our ways. Amen. And, you know, Peter goes on, he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, amen, reproach can be shamed, amen, you should be happy. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Amen. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You know, they may be bad-mouthing you, they may be bad-mouthing Christ, but hey, he's getting the glory. Amen. And you should be happy about it. And then he goes on, as Christians, you know, we shouldn't suffer for things that we've done wrong. And he mentions some here. Murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody in other man's matters. You know, if you do that, that's your own fault. Amen. And you ought to suffer patiently. But you should rejoice and be happy if you are suffering, amen, partaking in Christ's sufferings. Amen. He said in verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Don't hold, your head should be up, not down. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see then, just as we saw that a Christian is to be divided, amen, and bring division as Christ brought division, so a Christian is to suffer and experience persecution. Let's move on to the third part here of our study, the word go. Amen. The only time that most independent Baptists like to hear that word is, let's go to the buffet. Amen. Let's go get something to eat. Well, a Christian is to be a going person, amen, not a staying person. In fact, the Christian's commission is a going commission, is it not? We find our commission, Matthew chapter 28, in verses 19 and 20. The first word in verse 19 is, go ye. Go ye therefore, doesn't mention a buffet here or get something to eat. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then again in Mark, in chapter 16, amen, Mark chapter 16 with me, in verse number 15, and he said unto them, is that word go again, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. So Christ's commission to you and I is a going person. I mean, we may not be able to go, God may not call us to be a missionary to a particular country, but we certainly can be missionaries right in the area that we live. When you leave the doors of your good local independent Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, teaching Baptist church, you're entering the mission fields, my friend. What's interesting, we see, for example, that Jesus was a going person. Amen. Remember what the scriptures tell us in John chapter 4, verse 4? And he must needs, is that word go again, go through Samaria. And I know you've probably heard it many a times. The Jews, the full-blooded Jews, hated the Samaritans. They were half-breed, half-Gentile, half-Jew. And if they had a destination, somewhere to go, and even though going through Samaria was the quickest route, they'd go around it. But Jesus, we're told here, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a woman at the well that needed to be saved. Also, we see that Philip the Evangelist was a going person, was he not? Look in the book of Acts in chapter 8. Remember, he was in a revival meeting up there in Samaria, people getting left and right. And then all of a sudden, in Acts chapter 8, we read in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Leave the revival meeting and go to the desert. Now that probably didn't make much sense to Philip the evangelist, but he went. He was obedient to the Lord. Because we see there that he's going to run into an Ethiopian eunuch who was converted to Judaism, needed to be saved. Amen. But notice, look it. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise. Most Christians, that's the first thing they need to do is get off their backside. Put down the remote control of your TV set. Amen. And go. Spend some time witnessing to friends and relatives and co-workers. Amen. But we see that he went, it says in verse 27, praise the Lord, he was obedient, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian eunuch, a eunuch of great authority, of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he's returning, it says, was returning sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, is that word, go again, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Amen. And we know what happened as a result. Philip preached Jesus to him and he got saved. How many times have you quenched the leading of the Holy Spirit? He said to you, go and witness or go and hand them a gospel tract. Oh, no, I don't have time. They look busy. Or, oh, I don't want to offend them. Go. Arise and go, man. Also, we see that the Apostle Peter was a going person, wasn't he not? He was told in Acts chapter 10, amen, had that vision. Now the Gentiles were going to be saved by grace through faith, just the same the way the Jews were. They were going to get in the blessing of God. And even though the Jews would have nothing to do with the Gentiles, God told Peter, go. Go. Go with the men, amen, that Cornelius has sent you. He arose and he went with them. And praise the Lord he did. Because we know that Cornelius and his whole household got saved. And of course, I don't want to leave out the Apostle Paul. He was a going person also. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. in verse number 17. Paul says, for Christ, we don't see the word go here, but it says, for Christ sent. So obviously he had to go if Christ sent him. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Here is a great verse to deal with someone who teaches water baptism for salvation. Show them. Here's probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, and he says right here, emphatically, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He went. He was sent. He went. And what was the results? Many get saved. Many churches were established in homes in the known world at that time. Praise the Lord for that. Now, as Christians, we've not only been given the commission to go, but also the power. Amen? The power to go. It'd be foolish just to go without any power, wouldn't it? Amen? You know, like, what do I do next? I'm going, but what am I supposed to do? Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 with me. Jesus said, just before he ascended up to the third heaven, the right hand, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's your power. You have a commission, but he's also given you the power to fulfill your commission. You and I have been given the power of the Holy Ghost, not to speak in some gibberish, not to fall down and wiggle and giggle on the floor, showing everyone your undergarments. No, you and I have been given the power of the Holy Ghost to go and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to tell people how they can be saved through the precious, sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the Son of God came from the glories of heaven, and he died, he was buried, and he rose again the same day to save them, to pay for their sins. Amen. Here's a sad fact, but maybe some of you listening today have never even tried to lead anyone to the Lord, or ever led one to the Lord. Amen. That's sad. That's very sad. You know, I'd hate to get up there at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're all going to appear, all the born-again children of God. Amen. We're all going to stand, we're all going to appear before that judgment seat of Christ. We're going to appear before him. The one who died for us, the one who sacrificed for us. And imagine standing before him and never, ever even trying, never alone led one, someone to the Lord. Amen. What a pity. What a shame. You know, some of you listening can bring people to your local church. Amen. Just bring them. Bring them to church. Invite them to church. Offer to give them the ride. Get them under the preaching of the gospel. You know, but again, some of you listening today are just content to remain in your comfort zone. Oh, let's see what's on the religious cable channels today. Oh, he is such a great speaker. Have you ever listened to Dr. So-and-so? I just recently purchased his tapes. What a bunch of junk. Amen. What a bunch of junk. Amen. You need, amen, first of all, to lift up your local pastor of your local church that you attend in prayer and supplication, and lift him up. Never mind Dr. So-and-so, amen. I need me to spend more time in your Bible, more time witnessing and going. Just like my church, I know a lot of churches have their own visitation program, amen. But you know what? You have an individual responsibility to go and witness for Christ. And it's nice if you go with your church, but you're supposed to do it on your own too. That's right. We have so much discipline to do so many other things. But when it goes to go and witness, how many Christians fall short? Again, remember, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I want that soul in his crown. He's not interested in numbers. Amen. He sees your heart. He just wants you to go and witness. He wants to use you. He wants to use your vessel. He's given you the commission to go, and he's given you the power to go, the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray to God that when I get up the judgment seat of Christ, I pray that I have that crown, at least one crown, to cast at his feet. Amen. Are you a comfort zone Christian? Amen. So many churches, so many Christians have become so complacent. Amen. Like the rest of our society, like the rest of our country. Gee, I just think about what Christ said to that church over there in the book of Revelation. And really, you know, there's seven churches there, and those seven churches in some ways represent the seven periods of church history, and we're in the last one, the Laodicean church. He had this to say to them, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen. Another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew ye out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Most churches are into building programs, amen. Bigger buildings, modern looking buildings, all the convenience, amen. He says, he goes on and he says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with me, and I will sup with him, and he with me. See, Jesus Christ is outside the door of many of the churches today. because they're all caught up in programs. The biggest this, the best that, the greatest number of school buses, and all that that goes with it. You know, preachers just want to get their name in some periodical, some religious periodical, some religious Baptist periodical. And I won't go any further because you all know what I'm talking about. Again, we mentioned the camp. That's the camp. Amen. Different camps. But they're all the same. May have some different names, but they're all the same camp. Amen. So what have we seen on this two-part study? Well, we've seen as part of our Christianity that a Christian is to be a divided person. Amen. Christ said he came to bring division, to bring a sword. And when you start living for God, let me tell you, it's going to bring division between friends, family, co-workers, classmates. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And that we've also learned as part of our Christianity that a Christian is to be outside the camp. Oftentimes you're going to find yourself in an unpopular position. Amen. But that's where you need to be. Outside the place of where, the place where that's highly esteemed of man. Be it secular or religion. Amen. We've also seen that a Christian is to suffer and experience persecution for Christ's sake. It goes with the territory. Amen? It goes with the territory. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. There's no doubt about it. But it's part, again, of our Christianity as much as faith and prayer and mercy and forgiveness. You know, thank God for all of those things. But the things we've mentioned in this study are so as much a part as the other things. We also see that a Christian is to be going and be a going and witnessing person, is he not? However, if you are a comfort zone Christian, then you have not experienced or been a part of anything that I've spoken about in this study. My friend listening today, if you call yourself a Christian, then you need to leave your comfort zone and do as the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter, and launch out into the deep. Start today being a divided person. Start today living outside the camp and living godly in Christ Jesus. Start today. There's no time like the present, as they say. Start today going and witnessing for Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never received Jesus Christ by faith into your heart, if there's never been a time in your life where you realize that you were a sinner, as the Bible says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as a result of your sin, you die and go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also says, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friend, Christ died for you to pay for your sins. And if you want to know that you're going to heaven and to have your sins forgiven, then you need to believe in your heart and trust in your heart and nothing else that Christ died, he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day to save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call upon his precious name today? Receive him by faith into your heart. And know then when you die that your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home.